Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Do you find yourself doing all the things, but never getting recognized for all the work that you do? In this episode of eLaborate Topics podcast, we've got you covered. Welcome to eLaborate Topics podcast that brings you weekly topics and tools to help you to excel in your laboratory journey. I'm your host, Lona Small, a laboratory coach and consultant, and I'm so excited about today's episode. Are you a lab leader trying to level up your career and move into your next level role? Whether you're a lab executive, director, manager, supervisor, team member, or looking to transition into consulting, quality, or industry, this episode will help you to demonstrate the impact of your contributions and qualify you for your next move. Almost a decade ago, during my healthcare MBA program, I became interested in healthcare quality and process improvement. I saw the importance of the lab as an integral part of the whole in medicine, and our significant contributions to diagnostic medicine and patient safety. This led me on a journey of participating in interdisciplinary projects where I learned about the value of the lab and how to demonstrate our contributions to the C-suite. And through training in project management, business process management, and ROI, I discovered that the ROI methodology was not just relevant for instrument procurement and contracts, also for showing the impact of our work. So in this episode, I'll walk you through some general steps you can use to demonstrate the ROI of your contributions and showcase your value. Let's jump in. So step one is identify a project that aligns with your organization's objectives or the objectives of your boss that's interested in this project or even the industry or the job you're aiming to move into. So I'm going to give you some examples, and these could be examples whether you're trying to target the C-suite or your boss or maybe an industry that you're trying to get in. So say, for instance, implementing a new laboratory information system to improve data management and workflow efficiency. Maybe for those of you that's not in LIS, you may be saying, whoa, but you could work with someone in LIS if your lab doesn't have an LIS system, or this may not be your thing. So I'm going to use another example, establishing a quality control program to ensure accurate and reliable test results. And maybe for some labs may be saying, what? A QC program? And it could mean a different program that's going to help you to have a more accurate and reliable results. Another example for those who probably don't buy this one, implementing a training program for lab staff to enhance their technical skills. So I use an example that almost anyone that's in the lab could use. If you're in the C-suite and you want to look at an LIS system that's different, that's going to improve data management and workflow efficiency, or you could choose a project that you think that could target the person, the C-suite, or whoever you want to target. Those are just some examples. Choosing that project. Then the next thing is to understand the project objective. Be able to clearly articulate the goals, the outcomes that the project aimed to achieve. So you want to provide a way to evaluate the project and the impact of the project. So it's important to be able to articulate the goals and the outcome the project aims to achieve. And I'm going to give you some examples using those that I used before. So for the LIS example, you could say the LIS project aims to streamline data entry, result reporting, and communication with healthcare providers, and ultimately improving the turnaround time for patient test results. For the QC program, you could say the QC program aims to reduce errors and ensure accuracy and reliability of test results, leading to enhanced patient safety. And for the training program, you could say the training program aims to improve the technical competency of the lab staff, leading to more accurate and efficient testing in general. So it's so important to have a project objective. Whatever project you choose, make sure you can articulate those goals of that project so that whoever you are trying to target, whether it's your boss or the C-suite or an industry, you can do that. That's step two. Step three is to identify metrics. What are you going to use to measure to actually show that you had that impact just using that project? So you want to look at your key performance indicator that best measure the success of the project. And those should align with objectives and reflect the areas of impact that's important to your boss and to your organization. You probably need to get a pen and paper because this is valuable information that's going to set you up to next level your career and move into places that you want to go. To identify relevant metrics, for the LIS, some of the metrics that you could use would be turnaround time of test results, or reduction in data entry errors, or improved communication efficiency with healthcare providers. For the QC project, some of the metrics could include the number of quality incidents, any QC incident, the percentage of accurate results. That's not the best, but maybe for some areas that don't have a lot of accurate results, if you want to prove that you're accurate 99% of the time, then, or the number of patient safety incidents, because there could be patient safety incidents that comes as a result of a QC program that is not as effective. Now you're coming up with an effective QC program. For the training program, metrics could include proficiency levels of your lab staff before and after training, error rates, and feedback from staff and supervisors. Those are things that you could measure to show impact of your project. So now step four, you're going to collect the data. So you're going to gather the data that's related to the metrics that you identify, the before and the after, before the project, after the project. You want to make sure your data is accurate, it's reliable, and it's really attributed to your contribution and not somebody else. Because sometimes you have several people working on the same project, and then you may say it's because of the improvement that I did that caused this. So you should be able to filter out to say this was due to your contribution. For the LIS project, of course, you're going to collect the data for turnaround time, data entry errors, communication. For the QC, you're probably going to collect data on quality incidents, accuracy rate, patient safety incidents before and after. For your training program, you're going to look at your proficiency levels, the way to measure your staff proficiency, maybe through observation, maybe through questionnaire. You're going to look at the error rates and staff feedback before and after the implementation. Step 5, analyze the data. So you should be able to evaluate the data you collect to assess if there's any changes, any improvements based on your project. So you're comparing the pre-project, the post-project metrics to quantify the impact. That's so important. You want to make sure that the data correlates with the project's objective that we say over and over again, and your role in achieving those outcomes. Example, for the LIS, you're collecting data on turnaround time, error rate, communication efficiency resulting from that LIS implementation. For your QC program, you're analyzing data on the quality incidents, any improvement in accuracy rates, you're analyzing. You're looking at any decrease in patient safety incidents after the implementation. And then for your training program to analyze the data, you're basically evaluating an increase in your proficiency level for your staff. You're evaluating things like decrease in the error rate and any positive feedback from staff and supervisors following your training program. And then step 6, you're going to convert the impact to financial terms. So whenever possible, you want to translate the project's impact into financial terms that resonate with your boss. So you're going to calculate the cost savings if the project reduced cost or additional revenue generated if it improved revenue. And this will help you to demonstrate tangible value of your contribution. We're going to talk a little bit more about cost savings because a lot of times for us, it's hard. We're scientists. It's hard for us to say, how did I save money? So we're going to give you a list of examples for theirs. Just for here, you're looking at cost savings when you reduce turnaround time, when there's decreased errors, you're going to look at how much can you save, improve communication there, cost savings from your quality incident with the improved accuracy rate and fewer patient safety incidents. You're going to look at cost savings when it comes to your training program, when it comes to improved proficiency, decrease error rates, and improve productivity of your lab staff. All right. I know I'm going fast. This is episode that you probably need to listen over and over again, take notes, and apply. So step 7 is to consider the non-financial benefits. I know when I said the financial benefits, a lot of us, the pressure went up. We as lab people or people who are in service, people who are in healthcare, we're here to do our job, not necessarily for the financial benefit. However, if you want to speak the language of the C-suite, you should be able to calculate some of your projects, the impact on the bottom line. So let's consider the non-financial benefits. You want to be able to identify and communicate any non-financial benefit that results from your project, such as improved customer satisfaction, increase employee morale, enhance efficiency or better resource allocation. And these are great benefits that's going to contribute to the overall value of your project. So quickly, for the different examples, for the LIS, improve patient satisfaction, for faster test results, and more effective communication with healthcare providers. Those are non-financial. For our QC, some of the non-financial benefits would be positive impact on patient safety and reputation of the lab resulting from program that you instituted. And then for your training program, some of the non-financial benefit could be improved staff morale, enhanced teamwork, and high level of job satisfaction after that training program. Then the next step is to calculate your ROI. And later on, I'm going to show you how you look at all the financial benefits and you're going to put that on top. You're going to look at all your costs. You're going to divide it by your costs. So you're basically net benefit over cost times 100. And we're going to go a little bit more into that later on. Then you're going to present your findings. So step 9 is going to present the findings. Prepare a really concise and well-structured report to showcase your impact of the project. And I know for a lot of us as lab staff, we are good in keeping our heads down and doing the work. But in order for someone else to know the impact that you have, that the projects that you're doing, the work you're doing, you would have to present these. And a lot of people who are introverts are good presenters. So don't use that as a way to hide away from presentation. Our lab team are really good at presenting. So make sure you're clearly communicating the data, the metrics, the financial implication, emphasizing your role in achieving the outcome. Use great visual aids and examples to make your presentation more compelling and easily understandable. So you're going to go through and you're going to present, you're going to highlight, say, for instance, for your quality control, you're highlighting the reduction in the quality incident, the improvement in the accuracy rate, the enhanced patient safety resulting from the quality control program. So you're going to present that to your target audience. Use that opportunity, whether it's going to be the C-suite. And what I really like to encourage at the C-suite level is collaborative projects. Work with nursing, work with providers. And a lot of times that's our way of getting our foot in the door. And then the last one is during your presentation or after your presentation, seek feedback, address questions, engage in constructive conversation with your boss, invite feedback, address any questions or concerns. Be prepared to provide additional information or clarification when needed and show your willingness to learn from the experience and improve future projects. So these are the 10 steps that you're going to use to effectively demonstrate your impact of any project, any work that you're doing using this methodology. So you're presenting a clear data, financial implication. You're highlighting the broader value of your contribution. That will really help your boss understand and appreciate what you have done. So that I have to really emphasize is discussing the broader implication, which is the last part. Is that opportunity to discuss the broader implication of your project's impact. You want to highlight how it aligns with the organization's goals, strategies, and priorities, and explain how the project's success contributes to the overall success of the team or the department. Using example with the LIS system aligns with organization goals of providing timely and accurate diagnostic services, ultimately contributing to improved patient care and outcomes. With QC programs align with the lab commitment for patient safety and quality excellence and how it enhances the organization's reputation in the healthcare industry. Talk about reputation. I know that it's easy for the lab to lose reputation. We actually had some errors going on in our hematology department. We knew they were not analytical error, but it was easy for information to go south. There were memos sent out, and once we proved that they were pre-analytical, it still took us some time to gain that reputation. People were still questioning our results. It was actually during COVID where they were not using the correct devices to draw blood, and they had some devices that they had to use, and they were causing a lot of pre-analytical errors. We actually wrote a paper on the challenges of supply chain during the pandemic, but your reputation is so easy to go south. So that's an important thing to enhance the organization's reputation in healthcare industry. So you're not only just showing how QC help with the lab, but it helped with lab results, helped with quality excellence, and it helped to enhance the organization reputation. So just that broader implication is important when you present. And even for the training program, you just say it supports the lab's focus on continuous improvement. All right. I am not going to go too much. There's a calculation for the ROI that I spoke about. You're basically getting all the impact, the impact from the financial data, such as increased revenue, decreased expense, the cost savings, you're looking at that. Then you're going to look at all the costs associated with improvement project, like any developmental costs, implementation costs, delivery costs, participant costs. So you're going to put your net program benefits, which are the impact, over your total program cost, multiply that by 100, and that's how you determine your ROI. And just a few other factors. A lot of people are like, okay, now I know how to do an ROI. Every time you do a project, you do an ROI. Don't do that. You want to make sure you're choosing things that are impactful, things that are aligned with the objective of your organization, because this can be time consuming. Once you start doing it over a period of time, it can become faster, but make sure you're very selective on the projects that you'll do a ROI. And as I promised, I wanted to give you some example of cost savings associated with labor and time. I know for us, that's how we're gonna find our cost saving, if it reduced turnaround time or the time that it would have taken in terms of labor. So things like reducing overtime expenses, decrease employee turnover, time through different process improvement, or resource allocation. A lot of those you can get cost savings there. Let's just quickly go through the 10 steps because there's a lot of discussions in those 10 steps. But if you want to write these down without the discussion, I'll just quickly go over. First is identify the project that aligns with your organization's objectives or the objective of your boss. Step two, understand the project objectives. You clearly articulate the goals and the outcomes of your projects, that what it's trying to achieve. Step three, identify the relevant metrics or key performance indicators. Step four, collect the data. Step five, analyze the data. Step six, convert the data into impact and financial terms. And then step seven, consider the non-financial benefits. Step eight is calculate your ROI from your benefits and your cost. And step nine, present your findings. Step 10, discuss the broader implications. That's so important. And seek feedback and address questions. I wanted to go over those for those who wanted to write that down. However, I know a lot of people may be saying things like, I do a lot of quality projects in the lab, and it's hard for you to demonstrate financial savings or any kind of finances when it comes to quality. But what I've learned through my training in ROI, that a lot of quality projects can demonstrate cost saving. And I'm going to tell you some examples, things like reduce rework. If there's something that you had to be repeating a lot and you're able to reduce rework, there's a lot of labor that you reduce there. So reducing rework and waste is something in quality that you can get a financial number on. Decrease customer complaints and returns. If there's a lot of complaints about repeating tests or patient have to come back to get redraws, that's a lot of cost saving there. Just efficiency in general can save costs. Prevention of quality control failures, that's a lot of costs you can get there when it comes to material, labor, increased customer satisfaction. Be surprised that there's costs that you can calculate from that too. And loyalty, all of those lead to significant cost savings. Now, this was a mouthful and you may be saying, where do I begin? So where I always at the end of the podcast, help you to start small. So the first thing I'd ask you to do is start by prioritizing the work that aligns with your major objective. Major objective of your organization or your boss, prioritizing those projects that those are what you're going to focus on. So you're going to focus on those things that are impactful, that you can actually measure the impact, and then consider delegating or automating or eliminating the rest of the things. So look through all the things you're doing every day. What are some of the things? Do I have to do this? Can I delegate this? Can I automate this? So do that, and then that's where you start. I'm always here. So if you need help to demonstrate your ROI of your work and you want to level up your career, you reach out to me at lonasmall@lonasmall.com. And also, I'm excited to tell you that we are getting ready to start a group of leaders who want to stand out and to elevate themselves in their career. ROI is just one aspect of the things that we'll be doing in that group for leaders who really want to elevate their careers, whether they want to elevate their careers and stay and move into other aspects of healthcare, whether they want to elevate their career for promotion, whether they want to elevate their career for more money, or to move out into industry. But anyone who want to elevate their career, forming a group of leaders, reach out to me, because we are starting in less than 2 weeks. And that's one aspect that we've been working on. And this was a really exciting discussion, because I know this is so needed among us as lab people. We many times do not demonstrate our impact. I know we did an episode on how to pitch yourself. This is so relevant for us. And I know we are changing our actual culture of the lab. We're speaking out more. We're stepping up and we're stepping out. And I'm so proud. So reach out to me for more information. And this was really exciting for me to share with you. So, of course, it was a pleasure sharing with you on Elaborate Topics Podcast. And thank you so much for listening. And of course, you can listen to this and other episode on directimpactbroadcasting.com, as well as your favorite podcast platform or LabVine. So don't forget to join Elaborate Topics Facebook and LinkedIn group. If you have any questions or suggestions or topics you'd love to hear, email us at elaboratetopics@directimpactbroadcasting.com. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, submit a request by logging in to directimpactbroadcasting.com. And you can also connect with me on LinkedIn at Lona Gordon Small. And again, if you want to learn more about how you can level up yourself and your team, let me know. Together, we can make a significant impact in the field of medical lab leadership. Have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.